Our esteemed guest is Mr. Todd Richards. Todd, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Ed. I like your wall.
Yes, this is we built this the other day. We had all employees of this show build it because we have such a big
budget
behind the scenes budget. It's huge. They did a good job on it, though, I must say.
I like it.
But I actually did cut my finger pretty bad when I was watching them do it. Let's get started. We always kind of get started with a little bit of a background. Where are you from? You know, how you got into riding, things like that.
I grew up in a town called Paxton, right outside of Worcester, Massachusetts. I started riding in and around there on, like, golf courses, basically. And then, we're talking back before high backs. So,
yeah.
And then, I kind of was into snowboarding a little bit, but I was more snowboarding was just something I did in the winter when I wasn't skating.
Yep.
And then I went to school in New Hampshire, and that's kind of when snowboarding took off for me. I was riding at Gunstock and Loon and Waterville all the time.
And I mean, I don't know if you want to give this away, but like, what year was that?
I started snowboarding in 19, the second half of my freshman year in high school, so like 1984.
Okay.
So 98% of the audience probably wasn't born yet.
So 1984 is when you started. So that really was in the beginning.
Second generation.
Right.
Because the first generation, I mean, I was going to school.
Yep.
Sort of, in quotation marks. I was basically, had a free ride to go to this, vocational technical graphics design school in New Hampshire. And I was just snowboarding.
Right.
It was pretty much like a paid vacation from my parents. And then when the New England Cup Series was kind of going on at that point, and my dad was always in the mountains, and he played hockey, and he skied, and so he was just stoked I was doing something.
Yeah.
But then, that's when Brushy kind of, went. Like, Craig took and Burton took Brushy under their wing, and, it just blew Brush up, so we saw what was possible from one of our own.
Right.
And I think even, kind of along the lines of my parents kind of saw it too. They were always super supportive, super supportive. And, it was still kind of a weird thing, and to be a parent and just be like, okay, well, if you're making $500 a month, to me, I was like, screw it, $500 a month. I can live like a champ. Talking, we are in the 80s at this point. So it was worth a lot more, but
yeah,
it was like, we were making money. I was making the same amount of money I would be if I was washing dishes. So
right.
I was hyped.
Yeah, okay. And then that all just kind of escalated into...
Yeah, I moved to Colorado. I was actually on the way to Southern California, and we stopped in Boulder. And this was like my second... Like, after I had started kind of competing a little bit.
Yeah.
I was sponsored by Sims at that point. We were kind of bouncing around. And I was on my way out to Southern California for something. I think it was just to move out here.
Yeah.
Or hang out here, or maybe even go to Tahoe. I forget what the deal was, but I just kind of planted roots in Boulder and stayed there, and then just rode in Colorado for about 20 years.
And were you in the first half pipe event in the Olympics?
Yeah, 1998 was the first.
Was
first
the
Olympic
first
team.
Mm-hmm. Okay, first Olympic team.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go on to the one that was 4 years later or no?
No, I tried to qualify, but I was like, at that point, I think I was way more into riding slopestyle.
Yep.
I think it was 2002 was when the Salt Lake City one was. I was going through the motions of qualifying.
Right.
But I was way more into, being in the park.
Yeah.
It was just kind of I'll just, I'll try to qualify. But
if it happens, it happens.
I didn't care until after I didn't qualify. And
right.
And then I was like, eh.
Right, yeah. Dang it, why didn't I qualify?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you did big airs. And it's funny because I kind of think of you a lot as, a pipe rider. But, you probably did, way more slope and big air contests as well, right?
Yeah, it was just, my goal. I was a pipe guy because that's what we had.
Right.
Breckenridge had that, and this is I skated vert every chance I got, and riding a snowboard half pipe was just a way to pretend I was better than I was.
Right.
And then it was just so many years of doing that, and then Breck had a really good park, and then I remember competing. The first slopestyle I ever did was at X Games in Crested Butte, and it was really fun.
Yeah.
And I had a blast, and it was just so different. It was just like I was riding. It wasn't like I was in the starting gate and you blow your first hit and you're screwed.
Right.
So after that, I was like, okay, I really want to do good in this.
Yeah.
And just, I was riding for Blend at that point, and Special Blend was really all about, the dudes hitting jumps. And I just ended up doing that a lot more.
Yep.
And then I just put my nose to the grindstone and I wanted to, you know, top five in a slopestyle. And that was in like 2000 when I really started to push that. And yeah, okay. that's how it kind of started.
Awesome. Yeah. Cause I mean, I'm sure we had competed against each other in slopes.
Lots of times.
Yeah. So if you're just tuning in, we are live on Eddie's Wall here at Transworld Snowboarding in Carlsbad, California. Our guest, Todd Richards, snowboarding legend, icon, if you will. Been around for a very long time, very successful career. Again, the best part about this live feed is that you guys can comment, and I am seeing your comments right here. So comment in questions, any questions you want for Todd, and we will have them answered live right here. And let's take a couple questions.
I'll literally answer any question you ask me.
All right. Oh, there we go. That's a good challenge. we have Ansys Egel. P3 is one of my favorite books.
So sweet.
Shout out to
Todd. We were just kind of talking about, Eddie and I were talking about this thing where I really want to take P3 and I want to read it, like, and maybe, I don't know if I put it on YouTube or have it be done somewhere, but I want to actually just read the book and then like kind of go in depth with some of like the experiences and like, I don't know, just, I've been throwing it around because that book just sits on the shelf.
And yeah.
I kind of always wanted to do it.
That'd be a good way to
revamp
it.
Maybe that'll have something.
Yeah.
Something
so, later. Ansys, might have that to look forward to. Actually, doesn't that book start out with you shitting your pants?
No, I'm born. I shit my pants a little bit later on. But, yeah. We can talk about that. You want to talk about me shitting my pants?
Yeah, it was like during a U.S. Open run or something?
No, it was a body glove used to sponsor snowboard events. Literally everyone would sponsor snowboard events right back in the day. And it was at A Basin in Colorado. And I was from the East Coast. It was like third time I'd ever been anywhere snowboarding before. And it was springtime, probably May in A Basin. And I was like, oh my God, this place is great. And the sun's out. Oh, and sunscreen was just like a fictional thing that people put on back. Like,
yeah, on the East Coast.
No one puts on sunscreen. My dad used to put baby oil on me so I get a little color when I go out snowboarding. Yeah. So I didn't put any sunscreen on at almost 11,000 feet. No, not a cloud in the sky. Myself, Trevor Graves, and Chris Swires got so sunburned, like, to the point, you know when you like your eyes are like swollen shut your lips? So bad sun poisoning. So the next day was the contest. Like we were just riding around like no sunscreen, like, you know, sun's out, guns out. And then the next day at the contest, like I pulled my shit together. Hadn't had a sip of water in like 4 days either. Sitting the starting gate and the camera guy like comes over to do like your dropping in next. Because there wasn't really a lot of televised events back in the day.
Right.
So the dude comes over. And he's like interviewing me, and I had had the shits like because of sun poisoning. Like I just had the shits, and I'm in the gate, and I just, you know, like seriously, as soon as they were like go, and I thought I was just gonna have a little, you know, a little barn door squeaker, and it wasn't. It was a shotgun blast of mud in my underwear, and I took my run.
With the load in your pants.
Yeah. What am I gonna do?
Yeah.
Oh, like, my God. Pardon me? So I took my run, and then they stop you at the bottom to do, like, the post-run interview, and I fucking just ollied the fence, and it just went straight. And I wiped my butt with my underwear and then went back out for my second run. So, kids, drink water, use sunscreen.
There we go. That's the moral of the story. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Let's do a couple more questions here, quick ones. Eric James Martin, Flaming Hot Cheetos or regular?
Ooh, Flaming Hot Cheetos, Sting Ring. That's all I got to say about
Sting
that
Ring.
One. They always seem like a super good idea when you're in, like, the first half an hour of a road trip, and then by, like, hour two, you're like, oh, my God, I need, like, one of those Tux medicated pens.
Yeah, yep, yeah.
Put the fire out.
Keenan Calvin, would you ever film another video part?
I have been throwing that around with the guys that drink water dudes.
Cool.
You know, Fox has been trying to get me to do that for a while. I'd like to do it, and I'd like to film it with Pierre Wickberg.
Yep.
Because he can literally make anything look really fun.
That's, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm super ADD. I've got a million things going on. So, yeah, it would, like, you know, I'd have to nail myself down to do it. But
right.
I'd be stoked to, yeah.
Keith Paul, what's your favorite new board company out on the market right now? That's a good one.
Ooh, favorite board company.
Do you ride one board right
now?
I do.
Do
you have a couple of different brands?
I'm the Yes guys have hooked me up. Okay. I had a model on there, like one of those Legends models a year ago. Last year was in the stores this past year.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are awesome. all the boys at Yes. Super stoked. One of the companies that I'm really stoked on, it's not, I'm really into the Shark Surf powder surfers and the Osmo boards. Like that's, riding those at Baldface is a, it's a completely 180 from what I ever, you know, I didn't really, hadn't experienced it really until this year. And like, that's what I'm stoked on. I'm really stoked on that aspect of just the power surfing thing is really cool, man. Yep. It's really cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Let's see. Simon Presley, Force Awakens verdict.
Awesome.
What is Force Awakened?
Well, you've out of your mind. Where have you been the past year?
What is it, like a TV show?
Star Wars. The new Star Wars movie.
Oh, wait, is that where you were last night? Where was that photo you took of you with the Star Wars dude?
What are you talking about? Oh, no, that was at the premiere of Force Awakens. Yeah. Eddie's a little behind the times. It's okay. Yes, Force Awakens, I loved it. I'm such a Star Wars nerd. I've actually been really fortunate to work with Nixon on all their Star Wars watches.
Yeah.
So we've been privy to a whole bunch of information on the new, like, not only the next chapter, but also the one that's coming out in the fall here. I mean, not the fall, but I guess in December.
Okay.
So there's some...
There's some secrets.
It is going to be rad. The stuff that's coming down the line from Lucasfilm is so sick.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoy Star Wars, but I'm not like a... I'm not a crazy freak.
I was raised by George Lucas.
Okay, all right.
I was a full latchkey kid who was basically raised by the teachings of George Lucas in the first three movies.
Funny story, my sister used to work on Lake Tahoe, and their boss came in one day and said, "Who here knows who George Lucas is?" And every single person went like this, and my sister just like looked around like, "I have no idea." And they're like, Curry, come to our office." And they're like, "This guy named George needs his kids babysat for the day out on this yacht on Tahoe. Can you do it?" And she was like, "And you get however much money." And she was like, "Yeah, sure." And they're like, but everybody, they picked the person who didn't know who he was.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It'd be pretty funny to be like, you do get in that. So she watched his kids like the whole day on Lake Tahoe. And,
perfect.
But it would have been funny if you just lied and then you're in there with the kids like, "So have you been on that movie set?"
You know, this is a crazy story. This like Star Wars related baloney. Back at High Cascade when I was there, every summer as like a mascot slash working as a coach.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford came and dropped his son Malcolm off at camp one summer. And I remember it was like, it was kind of gnarly. Like the hubbub was like, was the undercurrent tone was like, "Hey, Harrison Ford's coming to drop his kid off."
Right.
And no one really believed it. And then the dude shows up.
Yeah.
And we're all just kind of like standing around this dude. Like, like not only was he Han Solo, but he's also Indiana Jones. Jack Ryan, you know, like he was all these iconic characters, and I almost had a nervous breakdown.
That's
but
awesome.
Yeah, I don't. It's be hard for me to be around George Lucas's kids. Yeah. I mean, not in the sense of like I shouldn't be around kids, but George Lucas's kids.
Let's see, John Torres. Where would you go to film if you did do a part?
Ooh, good question. I love riding in Japan. I love riding Mount Bachelor. I love riding Breckenridge. Wherever.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool. Mike Rice, how long did you rollerblade for?
I'm still currently pretty savagely pursuing rollerblading, but, you know, I only run one rollerblade and one soap chew because I don't want to give up the grind. You know, I want to be able to slide.
That's a good point. Dude, you know what's funny about soap shoes is I wanted a pair of soap shoes super bad when I was younger, and luckily my parents weren't able to buy me a pair. And I'm like, I got out of so much stuff because my parents couldn't buy me stuff.
Any shoe is a pair of soap shoes if you get some kitchen grease and put it on the bottom of your shoes.
True, but I mean, the soap shoe had the token actual inlet, like...
They call that the cheater bar.
Right, yeah. So let's see, any Audis currently in your garage? Jesse Sinderson.
Jesse, we have a Q7 TDI, and I have a TTRS kind of race car that... I'm building still.
All right.
So that's that.
So, yes. Let's see. Jay Naylor. Hmm. Thoughts on your trip to Northern Japan in February of 1996. It was good to see you.
Hey, Jay. I don't remember you because that was eons ago.
30 years ago.
But any time that I would go to Japan, best times ever. My daughter and I were looking at my old passports the other day, and probably out of any country that I've visited, Japan is... like 80% of the stamps in that one particular passport that I was looking at. And that, it's just the most fun place ever to go. It's just so different. And back in the beginning, it was the Japanese riders, the people at the skiers, they wouldn't go off-piste. They wouldn't go in the woods. I mean, it's different now, though, because there's it's just different.
Right.
But back then, it was like, there'd be 3,000 people riding a strip of snow that was moguled and just, you know, a nightmare. And then literally off to the side of the run would be a straight shaved wall of 4 feet of pow.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what? Like, and you'd go over there and no one would even say anything. Like, there'd be like monkeys in the trees and it'd be like magic. And I mean, we probably almost died like 300 times because avalanches didn't happen back in the 90s. But
yeah.
Yeah, it was magical, and I still love that place. I love going to Tokyo. It's one of my favorite places on the planet.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Keaton McCollum, why did you stop doing your YouTube show?
Funding and a whole bunch of other stuff got in the way.
Yeah, and those take a lot of the any short shows answer. Take it's a lot of effort.
It does. I mean, even this show that you're doing right now, it's like it seems like it's not that much, like two dudes on a couch talking shit. But it takes a lot to kind of like set it up. And and Awesome on Ally was amazing.
Yeah.
But the reason that it was so amazing, it wasn't me talking shit in my garage. It was the guys from Transition that were editing it, and that was the amazing part. Right. It costs a lot of money.
Yep.
And plus, at that point, YouTube itself had taken a lot of money and just thrown it at action sports.
Yeah.
And I just had a big catcher's mitt in the beginning. I just happened to be one of the dudes that got hit in the face with like a budget.
Right.
So maybe do some more YouTube stuff. The Facebook Live is really, really cool. I dig this because it doesn't, you know.
There's no editing.
It's no editing. It's more like, here I am, better or worse.
All right. Perinkov Colin. For how long have you been snowboarding?
I started snowboarding in 1984, and it is now 2016. So, Ed?
42 years?
No.
36 years.
42 years.
36 years.
Public education kids.
Yeah.
A long time.
Long time.
Yeah.
Is that 36 years, though? No. 37? Oh, I don't know.
And yes, I love it as much as I did back in the beginning, but it's different now. The things I like about it more these days are, quite recently, I finally got my daughter up on the hill snowboarding.
Yep.
And just snowboarding with my kids.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing to do. Just putting around the hill and doing it like I did it back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, the parks are there. They're always going to be there. You know, my desire to hit a 150-foot tabletop in Breck's mainline, not as hot as it used to be. Yeah. But, you know, I love just cruising and just, I don't know. I still have the same fun as I used to. It's just, you know, different.
If you're just tuning in, you're watching Eddie's Wall live here at Transworld Snowboarding in Carlsbad, California. Our guest star today is Todd Richards, and we are taking any of your questions. So we'll take them live, comment, ask questions. Like Jared Kleinberg, out cold part 2? ?
Oh, man, how rad would that be? There's, you know, it's funny because all those dudes from Out Cold have like pretty much gone on to be gnarly, right?
Big, big time.
Like there's, you know, Thomas Lennon, he was Officer Dangle on Reno 911. And obviously Zach Galifianakis is Zach Galifianakis. And,
he's the one who got his stuck in the.
Yeah. Yeah. In got the put movie. It in the hot tub.
In the hot tub.
And thing. Then.
Thought of that every time I've been in a hot tub from there.
Thomas. what's his name? Kuchner? Whatever that guy's name is, who was champ in Anchorman.
Oh, yeah.
So there's just a lot of dudes that like have gone on from that. It's really cool. I still can't believe.
Yeah.
We were driving to Baldface last year, and you drive past Salmo, which is where I was posted up for like a month filming Out Cold, which is really, it's funny. And, you know, you drive by that town, and like we filmed there for so long. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, it was so long ago.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Zach Vivitt, when was your first big snowboard injury?
I've had a couple like minor ones, but this little gem right here.
Yeah, that's not right.
I shattered my humerus where it goes into the elbow, and that was in December 17th, 2003 at Park City. And I just landed on my arm and exploded blew my arm up completely. Like, this was a full jigsaw puzzle. So I've got two plates, six screws, and a rod going this way still to this day in my arm. Doesn't, I mean, it's...
No arthritis.
I don't have any feeling in my thumb.
Yeah.
Still. But I don't, it's not like it doesn't work. And yeah, I just happened to have a really good surgeon that put me back together again. Because there's a picture of it on the back of my book, P3.
Yeah.
It's a picture of the x-ray.
Right.
And I look at that and I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Gnarly. I got really lucky.
All right. That was a good question. Daniel Poppers. Hey, Dan, if this is the same Daniel Poppers. Todd, you responded to a photo submission of mine tomorrow almost 20 years ago. One of the highlights of my youth. That was really cool. Thanks. So now that you are both older, wiser, and successful, how do you go about not blowing what you've worked so hard to earn?
As in money?
I'm not sure.
I'll just address that from a couple of different things. First of all, my biggest advice to all you kids out there and young up-and-coming dudes who are making money in snowboarding, put money away.
Don't spend
For God's it. Sake, just put money away, because your adult life is going to hit you a lot faster than you think it will, and your giant reckless spending is going to smash you right in the teeth. So just put some money away, because you'll be way happier later on. And how do you not blow it? You just stay true to who you are, and maybe you'll be whack one week, but it'll come around.
Yep.
You know, if you're just who you are, you're just consistent with yourself, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Good question, Dan. Mike Schmidt, where's your favorite place to ride in Utah?
Favorite place in Utah? Powder Mountain.
Yep, or the DC Mountain Lab. RIP.
The defunct.
Mm. 40. Joe Heffernan, have you been getting waves? What chemistry are you riding?
Woo! Yes, I have been getting waves.
A huge surfer,
I'm
by the way.
I'm super surf turkey. Yes, I've been getting a lot of waves. Well, past couple days, it was a little windy this morning. We've had like weird south winds here in Southern California that have been plaguing us. Favorite chemistry currently, Flashpoint. Those guys, Jason Bennett and Willie over there at Chemistry, have been setting me up for years, and love those dudes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Kind of on the surf tip, which to me relates to being healthy, kind of, mm-hmm. because surfing is kind of healthy. I remember an interview where you said, I'd rather shoot myself in a foot than eat a banana.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I don't like bananas.
Just bananas or all fruit?
No, raisins too. Actually, I really like artificial fruit flavoring, but I'm not really down with fruit.
I'll eat
the shit out of a vegetable. Any vegetable you throw at me, no problem.
Okay, but so you like that.
Fruits?
Vegetables.
I don't know what it is. Just bananas are gnarly. Like, you could like back me off a cliff with a banana. Like, straight off.
Oh,
like,
man. I was so close to picking up like a big ass bundle of bananas.
There's nothing worse. Okay,
like,
look.
Well, here's your parting gift.
I can sit with a banana.
Right.
I can have a banana exist in front of me.
Right.
You know what I can't stand? Is when someone's eating a banana and they're talking to you.
Oh, and it's like,
oh my God, dude. This is the worst.
All right,
this
cool.
is the worst.
Note to self, I'm glad I wasn't eating a banana. Let's see. Tom Harridan, Eddie's Wall associate for season one. Todd, who is your favorite crew of up-and-coming snowboarders?
Favorite crew up-and-coming? I have a real soft spot for the Yaguns. And...
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Mainly because, I mean, I think what Dylan and those guys are doing is amazing. I think the whole, creative carving stuff is cool. But the fact that I know where they are coming from,
yeah.
and I mean, Yagu Valley is tiny.
Yeah.
Wachusett, where I grew up riding,
yeah.
is tiny. Yagu is tinier.
Right.
So the fact that these guys are putting out the content that everyone looks forward to seeing from this tiny little hill and just fighting the fight and, you know.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Love it.
It's like making lemonade out of lemons,
mm-hmm.
like, but in an amazing way. And
yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
those dudes are
good answer.
Those dudes are cool.
Let's see, Porter Brown, what snowboard are you riding now? I pretty much said you like riding yes boards.
I'm riding the Yes 420 Powder Hull was what I ended up riding a lot this year because I got a chance to go to Ballface a few times. But it's like that board and the Jackpot are the two boards that I ride. Primarily from Yes.
Okay. Garrett Joseph, top three favorite video parts.
That's Ooh.
Probably a tough one off the top of your head.
No, it's actually not. Number one is Chris Roach in the Western Front, which is one of the first videos that actually changed what I thought snowboarding was all about for me. So if you have a chance, it's on YouTube. You can find it. The Western Front video is on there. Chris's riding, it's still to this day, it's not as technical, but the style is there, and you watch that, and that's what everyone is trying to emulate to this day.
Okay.
Number two, I would say, would probably be Terrier's part in, it's the one, is it, I can't remember, it's not Subject Hawkinson. I think it was in, what movie was that? It's one of the Barbarian Brother movies. What was it? One of the Hatch Dogs movies. TB3. It's the one where he's riding the sword board.
The sword board,
and
yeah.
He does like a switch backside 360 shifty off of that. And he does a backside 5 off that. That was one of my favorite parts. And then I think my favorite part of all time. Maybe this is tough. It's probably Peter's part.
Okay.
Peter Lyon.
Yeah.
And technical difficulties.
There we go.
That part's really good.
Yeah, that's an amazing.
Just the fact that it was the backside rodeo was just so weird back then. And like, you know, it's such a staple trick from everyone now. But when it came about then, and he was just like the dude who was doing the weirdest and coolest shit.
Yeah. Ross Gem, do you stay in touch with Travis Parker? It was so fun watching you guys ride together in the Mountain Lab videos.
You know, that's another. I just add another one to the favorite video parts of all time. I mean, Travis's parts in all of After Lame and After Bang and blah 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 and Lame. Those parts and getting a chance to see Travis and fortunately riding with Travis a whole bunch for about 3 years. Those are like highlights of my career. I don't get to see Travis, but it's like when I do see him, it's as if no time has passed.
Yep.
I love riding with that guy. He's the ultimate, like it could be, you know, snowing sideways with 300 mile an hour winds and it's bulletproof ice, but you will go out with him and you will have a blast.
Cool.
So that's, I miss riding with that guy.
If you had to choose one female snowboarder to be a guide at Baldface, who would it be? Keith Paul.
Is this like some loaded Robin Robin question? One female snowboarder to be a guide up there? Well, Robin, because she's training to be a guide at Baldface.
Perfect.
Duh.
Let's see. What three riders do you pick as your dream chair crew? That's pretty cool. Zach Barnes. Like if you're going up on a quad lift and you have three snowboarders sitting next to you, who would those three be?
Oof, God.
Because there's a lot of ways to look at that. It could be like guys that would be fun to ride with or just like guys to have a good conversation with.
I'm down for just the entertainment factor.
Yeah.
Probably Travis Parker because he's always going to say some weird shit. Roach, just because I still fan out on him. Terry Kidwell. And J2.
J2. All right, solid answer. Holden Barth, Todd has one of the funniest Twitters. I remember you doing a tutorial video where someone said safety is no accident, and you fall and throw like a dozen pair of goggles. What movie was that?
Oh, that was a trick tip video that I did. I think it was Todd's Trick Tips Volume 1 or something like that.
Right.
It was I think it was actually like we were demonstrating what not to do when snowboarding in a park, and I don't know, it's like don't stand on the knuckle because this could happen. I think Billy Anderson actually came up short on purpose just for the video.
Really?
So, thanks, Bill.
That's awesome. That is something that takes some balls.
It does.
Travis Bose or Boss? How are your knees?
My knees are solid. My knees are sweet. I never really ever had a problem with my knees. My lower back sometimes gets really sore. Knock on this concrete wall.
I don't know why I knocked on Kong on brick, but
if it's everything else, dude.
Yeah. Cool. Let's see. What's up with Mountain Lab 3, Garrett Joseph?
Well, first of all, we'd have to convince Ken to actually. You know what? Mountain Lab hasn't sold yet. It's still sitting there.
Wasn't Reese Witherspoon looking at it or something? I heard some famous.
Maybe.
Yeah, I heard she looked at it.
Reese Witherspoon was in talks to buy the Mountain Lab. I don't think she was going to let us film Mountain Lab 3 there, but I've gone up there a couple times since it's shut. I mean, everything is still there.
Yeah.
I talked to Ken about it, often.
Yeah.
About, like, what's up with the Mountain Lab? Yeah. And it's still for sale.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you want to go to Park City and buy it.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, if you have just some spare change laying around.
Who knows? Maybe you've just developed a new app and you just suddenly have gazillions of dollars. You just go buy the Mountain Lab.
Shane Phillips, did you drop out of high school or school?
Hell no.
How did you board?
I got kicked out. No. I finished high school. I went for 2 years at a technical graphic design college. Everything that I learned at that graphic design college was replaced with 2 keystrokes in Illustrator. So thank you, Mom and Dad, for paying for that education. No, I went to college, but it was like the whole snowboard thing took off while I was there. And then I got my education in design outside of school. But I highly suggest you finish high school because...
Otherwise, yeah, you just end up with your very own talk show. I'm just kidding. No, I finished high school too.
Just kidding.
I finished high school. After high school, I hit my head a lot, so that might make up for some of this. Peter Fallon, what are some of your favorite snowboarding videos or videos that you think everyone should own in a collection?
Wow.
Maybe you just do
snowboarding
like
videos.
Or four,
Man, I'm a fan of the classics, but I think that you should get like the Mountain Lab videos are pretty rad. Not just because Eddie and I are in them, but because it kind of shows a side of snowboarding that it kind of ushered in this whole, it's okay to have fun and just kind of cruise around and do whatevs.
Yeah.
All the lame, after bang,
yep.
That stuff too. What other videos? Jeremy Jones's movie, his movies.
Oh, the higher, further, deeper, harder.
Yeah.
Just... When you say them all together, it's maybe not the best trilogy. But.
Right, and when they're on your shelf and someone comes over and it says higher, deeper.
It's like deeper, harder, further, stronger.
Those, and then Travis's movies. I don't know. It's like you can never have too many DVDs until you do.
Perfect. Let's see. Do you miss riding the ice at Gunstock? Jason Spinney.
Spinowitz. I don't, but I do. You know what I mean? Like, I miss when I go home back east and I go back to like the smaller ski areas. As long as it's kind of sunny and slushy out, yep. I love riding back east. I don't really miss that whole, okay, my toe edge is solid. I'm doing a toe side carve. And then all of a sudden it just, bam! Like, it just rips out from under you and you, no hands down, full face stinger. Yep. I don't miss that at all. Or like the weird bubbling blue springs that for no reason in the middle of a trail.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, fossilized human. And you just go, oh my God, is that the man, blue man in ice in there? I don't miss that at all.
Let's see. Stephen Creed Bayless. How would any younger ripper that is more just solid rider progress themselves in the industry without hucking the gymnastic moves of today? I mean, essentially that's what the Yagans are doing.
So yeah. You just... carve your own path.
Just
I mean, it's
no pun intended.
There's niches for everybody at this point. You know, I think that the whole wearing your snowboard pants above your boots niche is kind of played out, so don't try to go that way. But, you know, there's all kinds of different stuff, and just find ways to ride your mountain. Like you said, the Yaguns guys did that. They took what they did and they went with it. I think there's a lot of backlash against the crazy gymnastics now, and I don't mean it in a sense of like people are angry at it, but I think people are trying to push the style aspect again because it's just gone so haywire in this direction where you see a method get the biggest applause at a big air event where people are doing quad corks,
right
you know, and it's that says something. So just go out there and hone the basics, get them really solid, make everything look really good, and then don't worry about coming up because you're already on the come up.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, on kind of the same topic as the gymnastics things, I mean, I wanted to get your view. A few people have asked, like, what are you up to now? One of the main things you're doing is commentating, announcing, doing a lot of live TV broadcasting. And so you're familiar with these big contests and everything. And, you know, I've been working a bit with the Aaron Style guys on some things. And I mean, what are your thoughts on this? The next Olympics that's going to have big air as, you know, as a discipline. Slopestyle, even though they are kind of just still doing like a double to a triple, but with big air, it's one jump, one try. Yeah. And it will, top three, it's either going to be 3 triples or 3 quads or like a quad and 2 triples or something. But do you think that, you know, is... is good or bad, or is it just kind of what it is and we go along with it?
You know, you can't get in the way of progression no matter, and you don't want to get left behind in your thinking. I mean, I think the older, you know, as we get older, we still pine for the nostalgia that is the clean backside five.
Right.
And it'll never go away. And I think a lot of people, that's one of the first tricks you learn. It's one of the first tricks you make look good. So, of course, everyone's going to have an attachment to like that or the method or just doing frontside 360 good.
Right.
The fact that, you know, Yuki Kodono is doing switch triple backside 16s.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't even, like, I do this for a living and I sit there and I have to watch so carefully. Yeah. Like, it comes with it that you actually, like, your brain just kind of comprehends what's going on in the air and a number comes up because it's math. I'm doing math in the booth.
Right.
And it's really hard to differentiate one person's switch backside triple cork 1620 from another one.
Right.
And so, with that, I mean, my personal opinion would be that I would like to see doubles are happening now, no problem.
Right.
Everyone has doubles. I can throw doubles off the knuckle of a jump.
Yeah.
If you can do a double that easy, then there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to stall a double and tweak it out.
Right.
And that's where we're going to start to see
weird
different. And that's like Peter and like these people that took the tricks that were already being done and just added their flair to it. There's not a lot of personal flair going on.
Right.
It's math. It's who's going to do the math in the air and get their landing gear up.
Right.
So I just want to see a little bit more variety.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like I was saying, like you go to, you know, you're doing the Aaron Styles stuff, Sean's contest, and Yuki does a 1620, McMorris does a, you know, triple 16, and then Sven Thorgren does a method.
Right.
And holds that sucker to the bottom of the jump and lets go, and the crowd goes apeshit.
Right, right.
Why?
Right.
You know, and it's because snowboarding in its raw sense, you want to look as beautiful in the air as you possibly can. And looking like you're a fucking flying Cuisinart isn't that rad sometimes.
Right.
So there's got to be a balance of it. And that's why I think like some of the contests where you're only allowed to do the one hyper-technical and you've got to work your way up to qualifying for the hyper-technical by doing the basics really well.
Right.
Style at Aaron Style.
Yeah.
So
I think it was actually this year that I think it was Kyle Mack who did, I'm thinking it was a backside double cork, mm-hmm. but in... After the first one, you grabbed Japan whacked it out and then kept going. And that was like, everyone was tripping.
I mean,
it might have even been a triple cork.
It was gnarly. I remember, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It could have been a triple cork.
The gnarliest trick that I saw last year was, I forget who it was. It was one of the Norwegian board lords that did it. It's a backside 360 with a full extended method at the end of it. Do you remember who that was?
Oh, maybe like Alec Ostrung or...
It was one
or Stalle.
Yeah, it was Stalle.
Stalle,
it's that board control where it's a full back three and then just snapping and holding into a method.
Yeah.
And then there was another kid who did, basically it was like almost like a Barrett roll. It was kind of like like not a backside 540, but like a Misty with a method at the end of it. Like that kind of stuff is so creative and taking what we already have and building off of that. And I think that's... In a lot of ways, that's more technical.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Haldor just did a...
Oh, I saw that.
Like, it's like a back five, and then he brings it to 360.
Yeah, it's like a rewind.
Yeah,
backside 540, rewind to 360.
So crazy.
And it is crazy, and that's where things just start to get hot and heavy, where the style part comes in, where people don't realize that a backside 540 with a 180 rewind... The consequences are just as gnarly as if you're coming out of a triple because you're just ready to neck whip on a, you know, hooking up your edge.
So. Yeah. I mean, we have a few more minutes. There's a few more questions. Real quick, touch on Villagers. What is Villagers?
Ah, Villager. A lot of us, a bunch of us, some of us. I had some friends.
One of us.
Some friends and I got together and we did St. Archer. Actually, I was very lucky to be included in the group that took St. Archer and built that up and then sold it off. And this is Villagers is a new project and it will be coming in August. And I'm not going to go too in depth, but all I can say that sugar caffeinated drinks being marketed to kids through action sports is the wrong message, period. And we're going after that market.
Wow. Okay. That's a good statement.
Because a heart shouldn't explode at 16.
Yes. That's, is that your
line? That's our tagline.
That's a tagline.
Don't explode your heart. Drink Villager.
Let's see. Well, and then, let's see. Well, we didn't touch on Game of Thrones yet.
Oh, my God. Are you into Game of Thrones, Eddie?
You're like, well, I hope we have five more hours.
Because I am in the throne zone right now. Yeah. What do you want to talk about? Let's talk. Have you seen the last episode? Full spoilers.
Full spoilers.
No, I'm not going to talk about the last episode because I'm not going to shatter anyone's dreams. Okay. But all I can say is that myself and... there's a few other diehard people in this industry that we nerd out so hard, so hard. It is literally the best thing that has ever happened to television.
Yeah, I agree.
Rapey dragon incest.
Sums it up in three words.
Yeah.
Rapey dragon incest. Let's see.
And boobs.
Sorry, just looking through some, and boobs. There's a lot of good boobs in that show, yeah. Let's talk about some boobs here.
There was a wiener a couple weeks ago.
It was full screen. No prep. It was as if like we just zoomed in and it was like, whack.
Hello, uncircumcised penis, full on the screen. That, I don't know why they did that, because it had no spoilers. Okay. I don't know if that's really a spoiler. I'm actually saving you by letting you know that it was the episode before last. There was a shot of a giant wiener. Be ready.
Yeah.
Because it came out of nowhere and it had nothing to do with the story.
Yeah. So, nothing. No, nothing at all. I just remember.
Was it a shout out to our European
my wife,
friend?
She was like, man, you guys get to watch this show and see so many amazing boobs.
Bam!
Like, and then just like, wham, this comes out. And then she's like, oh, and she's like, we get that? Like, she's like, that, what? Like, at least, if you're going to give us one, at least give us like a good one.
Has she ever seen Bruno?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because she can get her fill right there.
Yeah, that's a lot of lofty cocks in Bruno. Let's see. Let's get right into it. Evan Litsios, your best Star Wars metaphor for contest snowboarding.
Go. Oh, my God.
That's a tough one.
Star Wars metaphor for contest.
I think he commented that when we were talking about doing all the aerials and stuff.
Well, the obvious choice would be do or do not. There is no try. But that's just low-hanging fruit, so we need to go a little bit deeper. Let me see.
There is no try. Trying, there is no.
I feel like I could take on the whole empire myself.
There we go. That's Todd. He could just take over all the contests. Yeah. Somebody, here. Chris Langley. Any chance you'll be commentating for the 2018 Winter Games in South Korea?
Yes, there's a 100% chance I'll be commentating that. And if my luck is still good, I'll be doing the Summer Games in Japan, too, for skateboarding and surfing.
Wow. And... are those both on the roster to get picked up right now?
Sort of-ish. I mean, you know how it goes. Yeah. It's like everyone's saying, yes, they are, but it all comes down to,
right.
You know.
Have you heard any rumors about what surf or skate think about it?
Skate's going to be vert, obviously.
Yeah.
And then they're talking about taking the format from Street League and doing that. And then surf will be, they're going to try to run it in the ocean, but if they can't, they're going to use Kelly's Pool as a backup, and that's why the WSL... purchased an interest in Kelly's wave pool.
Wow. What are your thoughts on the wave pool?
Get me there.
Yeah. Please, now.
I've sent some really awkward texts to Mr.
Slater.
Bald God.
Yeah. yeah, that wave looks unbelievable. Yeah. Really cool.
Looks really good.
It would be actually pretty interesting to have a surf contest on where everyone has the identical wave.
You know, I kind of think it would be, there's got to be a way to alter the bathymetry, the bottom contours, so that wave does different things. Because it'd be pretty boring. And from what I've heard from some people, you're in the barrel, but it's hard to do airs.
Right.
And it's, you know, so...
yeah. And it's hard to do turns because it is steep, I've heard. Like, I've heard...
yeah, you got to go way out. Yeah. But it's like you can't really go way out because you'll hit the thingy.
Yeah, that's so... I've heard there's some room for improvement.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be awesome.
Insane start. Mm-hmm. What do you think surfing and skating have as a... you know, like, in general, like, people, do you think, have you heard surfers or skaters be like, oh, the Olympics sucks, or we want to do it?
Same with snowboarding. Yeah, some people are for it, some people are against it, you know. At the end of the day, it doesn't affect your experience, your personal experience with the sport, so.
Yeah. Cool. Garrett Joseph, what's your favorite style? Mine's always been Danny Cass's backside threes.
Danny Cass has really good style.
He does.
I've always liked his casual, I don't care.
Yes.
My favorite personal style to watch snowboard is still probably Chris Roach, but then again, like, I like Curtis Cizik.
yep. watching him saw him ride. But I think of all time, if we're talking of all time, Josh Derksen.
Ah.
Because he brings the modern and the past. And there was a video, Solomon put out a video a couple of years ago of Josh just carving around Bachelor. And this is kind of before the Yagoons.
A couple more and then we're wrapped up.
All right.
Better house parties in the 90s, Vail or Breckenridge? Kevin McKenna.
I never house partied in Vail, so okay. Breck.
Breck, there you go. Quick one. Chaz Truslow, Todd, will you do another blindfolded McTwist for your next video part?
No, because I like my spleen. Okay. I did a blind,
That's gnarly.
There was a point in time where we were like, I was just doing, like McTwist was like, didn't even think about him, I just did him, and me and Josh and Billy and a couple other dudes got a little bit tipsy. It was like a Jose Cuervo Big Air contest.
Yeah, because somebody else asked this question about and you were on tequila.
There was a Jose Cuervo contest at Squaw, and me and Billy and Josh got like sausalitoed, and we went up on the hill, and Billy's like, I bet you can't do a blindfolded McTwist. Yes, I can! And yeah, I slammed one out and made one, but it was funny. Full blindfold. I would drop in and Billy would call the tranny out. He'd be like, flat bottom, tranny, pop! And he would like tell me when to do it.
That is so
I would
scary.
Never do that again, ever.
That is
Even dropping into the pipe was sketchball.
Marcus Rand, Todd, you are welcome at Yagoon or at Yagoo anytime.
Oh, is that Mary's brother? Sick.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for everything you've given to snowboarding. That was amazing. Woo! I guess that's kind of it. Well, I guess two things I wanted to touch on. One, when we were talking about things to talk about, you said being old, kind of funny. But honestly, you're getting up there. You're in your 40s.
46.
46. Obviously, still looking healthy and skating and surfing a ton and snowboarding a ton. Mm-hmm. Any secrets? Because I know that a lot of our viewers Don't sit around.
Don't sit around. Eat good. I mean, your body cannot process the shit that you used to eat when you were 20. So just eat good.
Yeah.
A lot of caffeine. just keep moving.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the biggest thing, I think, if you just don't let your muscles and your body just turn to shit. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure it'll come catch up with me at some point, but right now I feel good.
Yeah, awesome. And then I had to bring up,
Frontside
Indies, you saw it. Yeah.
Stop. Just stop.
Well, explain it to people, because I think there's a lot of people who probably don't know this.
Here's the deal. Indie Airs, the first Indie Air that the story that I've heard is kind of, Dwayne Peters rode for Indy, and all the dudes that rode for Indy did, it was basically a backside air grabbing between your feet with your back hand on the backside wall. Mm-hmm. That was the Indy grab. Everyone did frontside airs at that point, which is going frontside and grabbing
the same area.
Your front rail. It's frontside. You're grabbing frontside.
Right.
So when people say frontside Indy, it doesn't make sense. It's like calling something a backside frontside. So just stop doing it. The surf mags are guilty. The snowboard mags are guilty. We're pulling all these tricks from skateboarding. Just let's get on the same page. If we can just get this one nailed down, then I'll go and work on the surfers and their fucked up edition.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know how to add. Can I go? I'm going to go in the surf office right now and just kick over someone's cubicle.
Yeah, they're like the back sevens and the back fives. God, and
just stop.
Yeah, that's funny. Anything?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that, you know, I'm still a big part of Quicksilver working over there. We just picked up Austin Sweeten.
Okay,
cool. I'm really excited about that. And Travis's big movie is coming out in the fall. And hopefully we still have a budget.
Todd Richards, everybody.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you so much. This was Eddie's Wall, and we'll see you guys soon. This full edit will be up on Facebook and on twsnow.com. Take it easy.
Peace out.